maximum of two. And the meeting is being recorded. Each speaker will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. Takesha, can you call for the roll, please?
Yes, Madam President. President Cimarron.
Present.
Vice President Sanchez.
Present.
Commissioner Hutton.
Present.
Commissioner Lloyd.
Present.
And we have quorum, Madam President.
Wonderful. Before we get started with our agenda, we are honored to have Councilman Curran Price here to give us morning welcomes. And so, Councilman Price, please come to the podium and welcome. Or you should be saying welcome to us.
Is that better? Oh, sure is. Magic. Madam President, the commissioners, it's just my honor to welcome you here to the new night here at Green Meadows. We certainly appreciate the work that you have been doing, that staff has been doing, really making a difference. So we just want to say thank you. And I want to say welcome. And it's also a treat for me, in addition to welcoming you, to acknowledge the wonderful work of our director here, Aaliyah Douglas. As you know, she's going to be leaving the position as park director, moving on to another position in the city family, I'm proud to say. But she has really been a real public servant. Aaliyah, where are you? Oh, there she is. Yeah, come on. You know, when I first got elected here tonight, I heard from many residents talk about the lack of resources, lack of programming. It was right here at Green Meadows. And so we undertook, along with the support of the board, to really make a difference. And we've seen that as a change. Early on, Aaliyah was passionate and a real advocate for involvement, for engagement, getting things done, making the community feel a part of the process. And so she has done that very well. Since being elected, again, and with your support, we've invested millions of dollars right here at Green Meadows. And it has truly impacted in a positive way the citizens who live not just around the park, but in the whole vicinity as well. In addition to that, of course, we partnered with the park in Christmas events. We had snow here in December. It's always a lot of fun. We make sure that residents have all the resources they need, especially regarding COVID vaccines. And that was a real important feature right here at the park. So again, we just want to thank Aaliyah for her commitment, for her dedication, for her professionalism. We know that while we won't be seeing her here at the park, she's still going to be a part of the city family and making a real contribution to improving the quality of life. So, Aaliyah, on behalf of the 9th District, we want to present a certificate with you in sincere appreciation for your dedication of years of service to the city and to the LA Department of Recreation and Parks. Your participation has positively impacted the lives of hundreds, thousands of City 9 families. You've been an inspiration to us all, and we wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
Well, thank you, Aaliyah. Sorry to see you leave the Recreation and Parks family, but glad that you're staying in the city family. And Councilman, thank you for what you do for the residents of the new 9th, particularly as it relates to programming, recreation, and park services. So thank you.
Thank you, Madam President, for your service, and thank you, members.
We need to approve the minutes. So can I please have a motion to approve the minutes from the January 4th, 2024?
So moved.
May I have a second?
Second.
Takesha, I have a motion and a second. Can you call for the roll, please? Or call for the vote? We already called for the roll, so call for the vote now.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from January 4th, 2024. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Hutton, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Cimarron, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you for that. Let's now move on to the general manager's update. Mr. Kim.
Thank you. Good morning, President Summerall, commissioners, staff, and members of the public, and to our special guests and guests in the audience. Jimmy Kim, general manager. Before I go into the department updates, I'm going to bring up Deanne Detman, superintendent of the Pacific region, to introduce the staff and just give us a little background of Green Meadows. Deanne Detman, thank you.
Good morning, commissioners, fellow colleagues, members of the audience, community as well. Again, my name is Deanne Detman. I'm the superintendent here in the Pacific region. Welcome. Welcome to Green Meadows Recreation Center. As you saw when you walked in, we have tons of new projects here in this very old facility. I will tell you, and well used, as the council member actually stated as well. But we have a DWP solar project here. So as you parked in the parking lot, you saw the solar panels all in the parking lot there. We also have solar panels up on the roof. And they will actually go into a battery pack over by the ball field eventually. And so we will actually be a solar powered facility. Kind of cool. We also have Proposition 68 funding project here as well. We just hosted a few different community meetings. And so within the community, our planning division has actually come and redeveloped some of the design aspects of it. But we'll be getting some new ball field upgrades, fitness equipment, picnic areas, path of travel, synthetic multi-purpose field here as well, because of all the great programming that we have, and then lighting and security as well, which is great. Our third project that we have going on all simultaneously, could you imagine? We do have an old, the Child Institute actually was here running childcare programs, and they actually left. So we have a nice bungalow over on the side, which if you notice, we don't have a lot of classroom space here. So we're having a new classroom space actually put together by the Junior League of America. Their Los Angeles Community Improvement Project Funds and volunteerism that they do within the city of Los Angeles. They have chosen Green Meadows to actually utilize as one of their projects. So they're actually helping us with indoor and outdoor facilities for that room, to create a nice dance room, classroom, mirrors, bars, dance floors there in that facility. And that will be coming to the board soon as well. But all of these projects here at the center, of course, are never done without collaboration amongst all of us, right? Our planning division, our partnership division, construction, maintenance, our recreation team as well. And I have my region staff here to introduce to you today. Our construction staff are actually out in the field, so they weren't actually able to be here with us this morning, but our maintenance staff is here. Jose Manji in the back, Ben Burnaby Ramirez, Gallardo Luna. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here, keeping our facility beautiful. And then our recreation team, you met Miss Aaliyah a little bit earlier. She is the driving force here at the Recreation Center. Her recreation coordinator, Jaime, and all of her recreation assistants that you may have met this morning in the parking lot. Keeping the community safe and active. So thank you so very much and welcome again to Green Meadows.
So much, a beautiful facility indeed.
Thank you, Deanne. I will now proceed with the general manager update. Just wanted to remind everybody that for special events and special program information, you could visit us at laparks.org under the special events link. I will now go into some general updates from various communications through the Board of Commissioner meetings and through the Commission office. So the right of entry issues at Fort MacArthur Park, I wanted to update the board that RAP has requested from the association at Fort MacArthur Park some completed bylaws and related documents. We are still standing by to receive those documents. And RAP staff, as well as the city attorney, continues to revise the draft right of entry so that the association future on-site archiving work can begin. So we're standing by for the documents that we requested. That way we could quickly execute the ROE and move forward. I also wanted to give an update on the Jackie Robinson Stadium at the Michelle and Barack Obama Sports Complex at Rancho Cienega Park. I wanted to update that at the end of November, we issued a notice to proceed to one of our on-call vendors for survey design services for the stadium. Specifically, we requested that the consultant provide a site survey in the anticipation of installation of a regulation track and field and new synthetic turf field. Currently, Jackie Robinson Stadium is not regulation sized, And so we have received that work in mid-December, and we are currently looking at three potential track and field configuration, and staff is reviewing those materials. The next step will be to identify the recommended concept and configuration and then develop initial estimates. We have also reached out to CD10 at the last board meeting. They did, a member of the public did mention that they were willing to provide some funding to help support our efforts. So we did reach out to them to see if we could leverage their funding to move forward on this project. Another item that I wanted to provide an update is the drainage at Balboa Sports Field, specifically the baseball fields. This is a problem that we deal with not only here in the city, but other cities as well. We've reached out to determine what mitigation efforts are being done. So last year, we did add additional infield mix to correct the low spots of the baseball field. And then we also did grading and bladed the fields as well. So as we all know, generally, because of wet weather, you know, fields get wet. And in those instances, we do have to shut down. So the drainage issue is far beyond just those small mitigation efforts. There's other engineering mitigation that we would need to do. So we're looking at that to see what type of scope that would entail to help address the drainage. I wanted to give a quick update on the Griffith Park concessions, formerly known as the Pony Rides. The final report back remains on schedule for late spring of 2024. So I did want to thank the staff and the consultants working hard on this report. The department continues to move forward through the process. At this point, we have completed community-based focus groups. There were a total of 7 meetings. During December and January, we continued the get the word out approach through random pop-up booths at our busiest playgrounds and facility throughout the city. We held 10 successful pop-up events, speaking with over 400 participants. The data collected from the park users is with our consultant to be used in developing the final board report. We have also received the final historical structure report. It's being reviewed by staff and is expected to be released to the public through our website in February. And finally, the consultant and staff is working on opinion polls and survey questionnaires that will be available through our website in February, as well as 2 scheduled town hall meetings before the final report is brought to the board. And that is the end of my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Very thorough report. Are there any questions or comments for Jimmy from the commissioners?
I'm sorry, I have one more item that I need to address here. Sorry about that. No, I did want to bring up our Chief Innovation Officer, Veronica Polanco, to provide a update on the annual report to the Ad Hoc Committee for the fiscal year 22-23 for our Play LA project plan. And I did want to mention to the public that copies of the reports are available at the back desk.
Good morning, commissioners. To start off, fiscal year 22-23 ended out really well. We actually reached 174% percentage of enrollment, more than expected. And I think it's important to note that this fiscal year was really walking out of the fog of COVID. The first 2 quarters were impacted by restrictions within space usage, whether we were indoors or outdoors, as well as the instructor ratio that had to be limited to 1 to 10 students or participants. And because of that, because of the COVID, there was a ripple effect. It impacted our lifeguard pipeline and convincing families to come back out, be part of the park as well. So that was really kind of like the first 2 quarters. After that, we're also, the waivers that you guys approved were originally available to the whole city, but it was in public knowledge. So when we decided to put it in the part of the registration and make sure that every flyer has a language in it, we're already seeing the improvement for this current winter season. Now, for the previous year, we're really looking to fill those gaps, like the pipeline instructors, all of that, through our coach program, our women's coach program. And like with the aquatics, they're working really hard to make sure we're building up that pipeline. And I'd be remiss not to mention that there is a lifeguard test happening tomorrow at Expo at 9 a.m. If you know anyone that's interested. We spent a total of $13.5 million last fiscal year. And a lot of it was really rebuilding the program. We found that clinics were really a good way to feed into the actual leagues. And then in terms of our adaptive program, we were building it out from scratch. So what we're seeing is that the need and the desire to be part of that programming is there. Our archery adaptive pilot actually had 60 participants. Our parasurfing is booked immediately once we release it, and they're asking when's the next one. So all of that is encouraging to the staff. And then in terms of our marketing, we switched our approach to be more strategic. We're pushing for more data-informed marketing, and that's what we're building out right now to really target the centers that need the additional support or the demographics that also support it. In terms of gender, we are participants, female participants were 44.1% and male were 55.7% for last fiscal year. And I really think it's a testament to really the dedication that the staff and the field level really had for this program. They really found ways and solutions around all the restrictions, how to bring people in, really connect with the community and make it a success. End of report.
Are there any questions for this item?
Can you speak a little bit about how this is informing what you're doing for 2024 and beyond?
Sure. Very much informing. Like one of the things we're doing is with our letter of agreements for our national governing bodies, we are actually making sure we're addressing the coaching element. Are they not only providing recommendations for great certified coaches, but is there a pipeline they can create? We're also talking to universities about their collegiate athletes, kind of considering maybe there's a way we can get a credit of service or something so they can really be part of the community. And they have that experience already. So that's the kind of the conversations we're having with the different agencies in hope that it would encourage participants to become coaches in our program. In terms of the marketing, we're going bigger and better. So we're building out the inventory about pictures, accessibility, videos, highlighting all the different programs. And then the waivers were probably the biggest one. We're currently already 52% increase in the winter session just with that change of including it online. And I think that's part cultural. Like if you're in certain areas that are not pre-qualified where everyone's the same, the $10 programming, it might be a hesitation for a student or a family to have to go fill it out and ask for a waiver or like feel embarrassed about it. So I think we're limiting that whole process of it.
Do you expect that we will request more funding for 2024?
We do.
We did last board meeting, you were ill, and it was an increase in funding as a strategy of catching up given the COVID challenges. My question is, I see we're tracking gender. Are we tracking ethnic groups? Why not?
Jimmy Kim, General Manager of Recreation and Parks. We were given advice that we do gender tracking as optional. So we do have some data, but it can't be a requirement per se.
I'm not suggesting as a requirement, but equity is one of our core values. And we know that there's inequities in terms of park access. And so this program, given that we're focused on certain socioeconomic households, that plus ethnicity are barriers to access. And if we want to really tout the success of this program, I think that we need to track, you know, who's accessing the program from a ethnic background.
Yeah, I see that Chief Operating Officer Austin Dumas is up here to respond to that, but we'll also check with City Attorney to see if we could continue to or begin to include tracking that in our registration. But Austin, go ahead.
Good morning, Madam President. Austin Dumas, Chief Operation Officer for PlayLA. For gender equity, we were tracking because it was due to a lawsuit. So for the last 25 years, we've been tracking gender. As Jimmy said, for ethnicity, we're not allowed to track the information.
Even on a voluntary basis?
Even on a voluntary basis, yes.
Yes, are we asking on a voluntary basis?
Currently, we're not.
So how do we, if we don't measure access, and this program is about access in low-income communities of color, and we're not even voluntarily asking for that information, how do we know we're having impact?
Jimmy Kim, American Parks General Manager. So currently the metrics that we've been using is the consensus data in the communities that we target. So the way we track our data is through GIS points of where they live. And so we use overlays, but again, we'll confer with the city attorney. And I'll report back on the next board meeting, if we could go ahead and include that as an optional status to collect that data.
Well, even looking at the surveys that we send to the parents, it can be, I fill out a lot of surveys, and there's a survey that asks my ethnicity, and it tells me I'm voluntary. It's voluntary. So I can check it or I can't check it. So at least we're starting to get some data. And this is an area, I think, of importance to the mayor's office as well, as well as 28, is that we want to make sure that the investment that the IOC and the LA 28 organizing committee is making is really reaching those communities of needs. I'd say the same on the adaptive side of the house. So we need to have really good opportunities to capture that data, either direct or on a voluntary basis, so that we can really celebrate the impact that these investments are having over the long term. And so, Jimmy, it doesn't have to be next week, but perhaps we can get together and have a conversation about how do we track the data a little bit better.
Yeah, I think it'll be, again, Jimmy Kim, General Manager. I think that we used to collect that data previously, so it might be just turning on the feature. So we'll find out quickly and get back to the board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that concludes the general manager update. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Before we move into general public comments, I'd like to ask the audience's indulgence. Councilwoman Tracy Parks is here from the 11th Council District to speak on item 019. And so I know you have a incredible business within the city, and so we don't want to keep you. So welcome.
Let me start over again. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be here. I'm Tracy Park, Councilwoman for the 11th District, which includes parts of the city of Los Angeles west of the 405 freeway, including the Pacific Palisades. I also want to thank all of our commissioners for the work that you do for our city every single day, and Mr. Kim for your leadership of our department and everything that you do. I wanted to be here today in person because I wanted to express my immense support for Resolution 24-019 that would authorize the department to seek Measure A grant funding for the Pacific Palisades Dog Park project. The start of this project's advocacy began actually 30 years ago when community members started to come together to organize. Despite so many years of trying, residents were unable to get the help that they needed from the city to move this project forward. But then, close to a decade ago, Leslie Campbell and Lynn Hyland Miller formed the Pacific Palisades Dog Park Working Group. And the efforts of Leslie and her team culminated in gathering over 4,000 community signatures in support of this project. It's been almost 7 years since my predecessor in CD11 introduced a motion in support of this project, but again, it has unfortunately languished for a long time without action. I also want to be very clear that this project has overwhelming support in the community, including amongst local neighbors, the Pacific Palisades Community Council, and the Park Advisory Board. There was a meeting held not too long ago to talk about the issue of the Pacific Palisades Dog Park. There are 120 people at that meeting, and all 120 people voted to support this park. I personally have done hundreds of community meetings over the last couple of years, and I've never seen 120 people agree on anything. I want to thank Leslie and her team for their leadership and their determination, and for joining us here today. I also hope that you all saw the letter of support on this item that was submitted by Joe Halper, a legend of LA City Parks and a proud constituent of mine in the Pacific Palisades. I also want to thank Joe for his incredible leadership on the commission and throughout his career, connecting communities to parks and open space. Not only is there widespread support for this particular project, but the Palisades desperately needs this amenity. As you all know, dog parks provide important health and well-being benefit for dogs and people. Among other things, they encourage exercise, outdoor recreation, and family gatherings in our public spaces. These parks also lower barriers for people who may be interested in adopting a pet but need additional space. With our shelters past capacity, encouraging pet ownership helps advance an important city goal. I want to thank you all again for considering this item today and urge you to move forward with this request for funding to ensure that this project can finally move forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Councilwoman, for being here and for your support of your constituents in this project. With that, let's now move on to general public comment. Takesha, can you please conduct public comment?
Will do, Madam President. I will call the first three constituents to come up to the podium to make public comments. You will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. And if you have further comments, you may send them to our WRAP inbox at wrap.commissioners@lacity.org. First three, Jacob Shaw, Matt Russell, and Cesar Acevedo.
Just wanted to make sure it was on. Thank you, commissioners, for this opportunity. I'm here on behalf of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals and our more than 40,000 members and supporters in the city of Los Angeles to express our strong opposition to any new concession in Griffith Park that exploits animals. Pony rides and petting zoos cause immense suffering. Animals live in near constant stress, fear, and chronic boredom as a result of being forced into unnatural and frightening interactions. Ponies do not voluntarily walk in circles for hours and hours carrying children on their backs. They only do so because they are forced to. Animals in petting zoos are forced to interact with noisy crowds of people all day long, and they're often given inadequate amounts of food, water, and opportunities to rest. Petting zoos also pose a serious threat to human health as they are hotbeds for dangerous pathogens like E. coli. Please also consider that LA Animal Services is in crisis, with an unprecedented number of homeless animals in need of assistance. So the department does not have the resources to ensure that any new animals brought to Griffith Park would be given adequate care, and they certainly are not able to ensure that conditions at a new animal exhibit would be safe and sanitary. As we saw with the Griffith Park pony rides, this lack of oversight guarantees one thing and one thing only: that vulnerable animals will suffer from abuse, exploitation, and neglect. Every animal is someone, someone worthy of kindness and respect. Animals are not carnival equipment. The city took an important stand against animal exploitation by shutting down the pony rides and petting zoo, but now the city must commit to an animal-free form of entertainment in the park to ensure that no more animals will be neglected and abused. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Matt Rozelle. I'm the campaigns manager for the Animal Legal Defense Fund. And our organization and our supporters have a strong interest in the development of the Griffith Park to host family-friendly ethical attractions with a non-animal model at the former pony ride location. Any attraction with the stated goal of a high volume of customers with a low ticket price will likely bring animal welfare concerns similar to the ones we've already seen at this location. And we applaud the sensible step into the future that LA Rec and Park Department took by not renewing the pony ride contract and look forward to this location being reimagined with the commitment not to exploit animals for entertainment, but to create a space that the whole community can celebrate and enjoy. So thank you so much for what you've done already, and we look forward to continuing to communicate with this board on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
The third speaker was Cesar Acevedo. I'm going to call up the next three. Sandra Bale, Zora Fahim, and Sherelle Caneo.
Morning. My name is Zora Fahim, president of Los Angeles Alliance for Animals. The Griffith Park and Pony Ride issue is very near and dear to my heart because it's the reason why my nonprofit formed. I was advised on July 1st, 2021, that the ponies would not stop working in hot temperatures that was so unbearable after I expressed severe concern to the workers. My conversation with the workers at the rides ended with the worker letting me know that there was absolutely nothing that I can do to change it because the city has come out multiple times and nothing has changed. So then I dedicated 18 months of my life to refute the ongoing lies of Stephen Weeks. At one of our protests, I had a father approach us and mention they came the week prior to join our protest with his 7-year-old daughter who made a sign that said, "Don't ride the ponies are sad." She was so proud of her sign. This moment brought me to tears because I understood then that if the adults were not listening to us, the children were. When I was by myself another time, I was holding a sign, "Do these ponies look happy to you?" A mother came up to me in tears, rolling down her face, mentioning that she used to come as a child because her parents brought her to ride the ponies. And that she was there to, she brought her children to ride the ponies as well, but that they were leaving because she agreed with us. Then immediately, three more families approached me, tickets waving in the air, stating, "We are also leading. We will not support this." I have met thousands of Angelenos at the pony rides, standing at grocery stores, gathering signatures, farmers markets, gathering signatures, and more. And the people of Los Angeles do not want or desire or will stand to support animals who are exploited and depressed in this city, which generally occur with animal exhibits. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning. I'm gonna wing this, so please bear with me. I usually have it written down for me. A while back, I went with a friend of mine who knows a heck of a lot more about horses than I do to a petting zoo, farm animal sanctuary, pony ride outside of Los Angeles. We drove a bit of a ways. We got there. They seemed very nice to me. I'm just going to talk about one little incident. We were over in the petting zoo area. We had food. We were feeding the animals. And the other people, one of the other people, set of people there was a man and his little girl. She was probably like maybe 16 months old. She was walking, but she was pre-verbal. And there was a little goat that was small enough to have gotten out of its little barnyard area, its enclosure, whatever, and was moving amongst the people. He couldn't get out. He was safe. He couldn't get anywhere he shouldn't be. And I looked over, and about like 10, 15 feet from me was the little girl and the goat. And they're about so big, table height, maybe a little bit smaller, head to head, eye to eye. It was as if they were seeing one another, not as others, but as the same. It was like two toddlers on a play date. It was adorable. And I looked over to it and I thought to myself, this is where empathy and compassion begin and are built. Not fun houses, not go-karts and climbing walls and stuff. Those are all fine. A lot of people like them. Not everybody does, but they don't build empathy and compassion. And I'm confounded that my friends in the animal rights movement do not see this.
And they say you cannot use animals for entertainment. You cannot use animals. Nobody can profit off of that. Nobody else can find it entertaining. And they let that get in the way of situations that actually help to build empathy and compassion. Little goat didn't need anybody to
speak
for him.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to bring up the last three. Rebecca Beach, Cameron, and Noel Weiss.
May I start?
Yes.
Okay. After the January 4th rap meeting, I came home and talked to one of my favorite people, my 28-year-old son, who was visiting for the holidays. And we talked about the meeting, about the Griffith Park pony rides, and he had this to say about growing up in LA with the Griffith Park pony rides. And I'll say this, he took advantage of everything he could living in an urban environment. He worked at the Hollywood Bowl for summer jobs. He, as a child, he sang with the LA Opera and LA Philharmonic with his choir, and lots of involvement in the arts. But he had a special love for the ponies. It was something completely different than the other things he was involved with. And he said he personally benefited from the pony rides, and he learned respect and love for animals because of the ponies. And he felt that he learned what it was like to ride a horse. And this connected him with a body, an international body of stories and literature and history that he would not have come to understand otherwise. And as a later member of the trail running community, he learned to respect horses and share the trail with them and to not be afraid of them. Also, regarding the January 4th rap meeting, but on a slightly different note, I appreciate that the rap board accepted the donation of a horse named Moose to be part of the Park Ranger Division Mounted Unit. I'm happy to see that you have acknowledged by the acceptance of this horse that riding a horse is not inherently abusive and is not akin to human slavery. There's nothing wrong with humanely and properly riding a horse or pony. Please bring back the Griffith Park pony rides. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi there. My name's Cameron. Can I go yet? Okay. I'm here. I am a resident in Griffith Park. I've been there 20 years. And our group had showed up at the Rec and Parks Commission meeting in June of last year about various issues of safety in and around Griffith Park. One of them being, as you know, we have Bridge Home Shelter there. The facility over the past year and a half that I was working there has had many, 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 many incidents, all well logged by LAPD and Rangers and the fire department. And the site remains volatile. I understand that there is a discussion about how to gain greater safety outside the facility, but I don't know that that's going to meet the metric for really instilling safety in the area. We also have people who are both gang members and people who are residents at the Bridge Home Shelter who are camping out in the women's bathroom and the men's bathroom by the tennis courts from 12 a.m. until 6 a.m. So we're asking that those bathrooms please be closed. Those people have a place to go. They have the shelter and they do not need to be in those bathrooms, you know, fighting, having sex, putting graffiti on the walls and making it generally even more unsafe outside the shelter area. We're just trying to, we understand that Councilwoman Rahman was asked to come back to the Rec and Parks Board with a timeline for shelter closure and has not done so. We hope that she will, in fairness to both the broader community, the people who are residents at the shelter, the children that play in the area, the families that go there, and the nursery school. Thank you.
Good morning, how are you? Nice venue. I'm here again, I wanted to thank Jimmy. I'm here again to talk about the track and field repair at the Obama Sports Complex, which I guess is currently closed until August 1st, because they're doing other repairs there. And you were graciously enough to listen last time. I've been in touch with, as you may recall, Councilwoman Hutt has a motion. She can take from her council funds, sufficient funds with authorization of the city council to gift to Rec and Parks so the track repair can be effectuated. That would be the goal. And in talking with Andrew Westall, I understand that the confirmation of what I've represented has been made. And now Andrew tells me that all he needs for his motion is controller instructions from Rec and Parks, because I guess it goes from whatever the fund designation is as per Rec and Parks to the appropriate fund on your end. And he's waiting for that. And Jimmy was nice enough to tell me today that he's going to call Andrew and make sure that those instructions are done so that we can, I thank Jimmy for that, so that basically we can get this moving, hopefully within the time frame of the April 1st reopening. It's a track repair. It's really important. The track is, in fact, we'll figure out a way to have maybe all of you there. You can run a race or something. We're not talking horses here. We're talking people. But honestly, it would be a great thing for the community. And I really appreciate the efforts of trying to move this thing forward, particularly since the money is there and the facility is closed. And apparently there should not be any difficulty because you've already approved this before. It was a component that was approved back in June of 2002 as part of a broader approval of the Obama Sports Complex. But then it was deleted for whatever reasons of, you know, funding redirection or whatever. But the core approval is there. So hopefully we maybe can get this agendized in one of your meetings going forward and do what we can do so as to not have continuing delays with respect, particularly since the money is there. It's kind of just like you can taste it, you know. We just want to basically do it. And Jimmy, thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Madam President, I need to bring up one constituent that I guess stepped away when her name was called. Sandra Bale.
Good morning. I'm Sandra Bell from Tarzana. I'm sorry to be late. Anyway, I want to let you know that I observed the Griffith Park pony rides for over a year, and I saw that many young little children, especially the ones on the turnstile ponies, were catatonic. If they weren't screaming for their parents to take them off the ponies, they were just sitting there. People say that this is a chance for children to interact with animals. 95% of those children were on those ponies for a photo op. They never looked the animal in the face. They never said anything. The parents just take them off the saddle and take them out. It was like a robotic exercise for a photo op. We have so many interesting things that we could present for our city to put in that space. Our people have been working on it. There's all kinds of ideas that really wouldn't be as dangerous or as boring to many little children. It would be much more interesting to have something creative and interactive and expressive that the family and the children could take part in. So I just drove all the way down here because I wanted to say that, because it means a lot to me to see those ponies out of there and see the kids have something better. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam President, I do not have any further requests for general public comment.
Thank you, Takesha. Before we consider the board reports, can we hear from members of the public who wish to make comments on board agendized items?
I will begin by taking public comments from constituents who are present today at our meeting. If you have further comments, you may send them to our RAP inbox at rap.commissioners@lacity.org. And I'm going to bring up the first three. Leslie Campbell, Lynn Miller, and David Carr.
Good morning. I'm Leslie Campbell from the Pacific Palisades Dog Park Working Group. And I brought show and tell. And I just want to say that Tracy's a hard act to follow. She pretty much summed it all up in a nutshell, and we're so lucky to have her. I started my journey 8 years ago collecting signatures. It took me a year, and 8 stores in the Palisades participated, and we got 4,000 signatures in favor of a dog park in the Palisades. About 6 years ago, Craig Rains, as you probably know, gave us the designs I pulled these out of the shed because that's how long it's been, and they have cobwebs. So it's time. We really need to get this park. And I'm here on the threshold of one of the biggest things to happen to the Palisades, if you guys give us the thumb up. And I've gone gray since I started this process, but I appreciate all of your efforts. And I appreciate David Card with the PPCC and the PAB, and Lynn Halen Miller, who is PAB and Dog Park Working Group, and my friend that of 8 years now. And thank you, please.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lynn Miller, and until April of 2023, I was a 10-year member of the Pacific Palisades Park Advisory Board. So speaking on behalf of the park there, I can tell you I can't think of a single quarterly meeting where someone from the community didn't come in and complain about off-leash dogs at our park, grabbing food out of kids' hands, jumping up and scaring kids, and defecating in the area of the park where the kids play soccer. So there's a significant need for an off-leash dog area in the Palisades. The other thing that may occur to you as you think about Pacific Palisades is the wealth of hiking trails that we have there. And while that's true, dogs have to be on leash on the trails. The trails are mostly single file. There are many people who are scared coming upon a dog, even if it's on leash, because there's nowhere to go in a single file trail. So an off-leash area in the Palisades would really help with that. Also, lastly, I really want to, well, actually, before I say that, we've had just in terms of support, we've had support from our local press. I've got a whole binder here of articles throughout the years. So it is widely supported in the community. And then the last point I want to make is a big thank you to Recreation and Parks. Michael Scholl before Jimmy, Kathy Santa Domingo, have been really fabulous partners with us for the past, since 2016, when Measure A came about and we went through the Measure A processes of going through the needs assessment, having the dog park voted as the top number one need for the Palisades. Recreation Parks has worked with us hand in hand. We identified six sites in the Palisades, and Recreation and Parks stepped up and said, you can take some of our land, so that we didn't have to raise money, significant funds, to try to buy land in the Palisades. And then lastly, as Leslie mentioned, the resources of the landscape architect, Craig Rains, who's actually designed the park for us. So Recreation and Parks have been really wonderful partners with the Palisades.
Thank you
community.
For your time. Thank you.
Welcome, commissioners. Thank you. I'm David Card. I'm Chair Emeritus of the Pacific Palisades Community Council. I'm also on the Park Advisory Board there. We have PPCC, if you don't know, has been around since 1973. It's the broadest based organization representing all of community organizations and areas of Palisades. And I'm speaking today officially on behalf of the Community Council. We sent you a letter dated the 11th of this month supporting the Prop A grant application. This effort is actually four decades in the making. That's how long we've been trying to get a dog park in the Palisades. You have a unanimous community support for this dog park. Palisades is isolated geographically. Closest dog park we could go to is at the Brentwood VA on Barrington, across from the Barrington Rec Center, and on VA property. It's not easy to get to at any time of day, but especially in the afternoons when all the schools let out. We have many parks in the Palisades. We have two rec centers. We have Temescal Canyon Park, where this dog park will be going. We have state beaches. We have state parks. Will Rogers State Park, where we actually do have ponies that are playing polo with their people on the back of them. And but in any event, our parks are overrun with off-leash dogs as well as leash dogs, and they've become de facto dog parks, and it's not safe or healthy for the people that want to use the park. And in closing, I would just urge you to support this motion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I have Tony, Bud Royal, and Laurent Payne?
Good morning, commissioners and staff and everyone in the audience. But I'm here just to talk about the Nike citywide coach plan that will be discussed today. And I'm new, 6 months new, so I guess not as new as I once was. But I've been impressed with what I see and meet from the management and staff of Rec and Park. I think a program like this gets the best out of those people, giving them tools in their tool chest to be only better. And I know Nike is a great partner. We've done other programs with Nike, and they seem to be there, and they love the city of LA, and they love helping the diverse population of LA. And I have four staff members with me today, Justin, Stephanie, and Avery. We're a small group, but we're going to manage it from our side. And I just wanted to give our full support for the program and think it's a great attribute to the city to have this program moving forward. So that was it. And other than that, it's just a hello after I think I came here in my second month. And so my second visit, and I wish you all well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Laurent Pei. I'm the general manager of Nike Los Angeles. Thank you for having us come today. As the biggest champion for sports and athletes, Nike is proud to fuel LA Rec and Park's incredible commitment to the next generation of LA youth. Last spring, we brought LA Rec and Park staff together to unveil the Coach LA playbook to provide them and their coaches with the building blocks they need as part of Coach LA. Coach LA is an initiative to inspire and engage coaches everywhere to learn best practices and provide great experience for kids in Los Angeles. In March 2023, we resumed Women Coach LA with the aim of recruiting, training, and placing diverse female coaches who reflect the girls they're serving in LA Rec and Parks recreation programs. According to the research from the LA84 Foundation in the LA region, the youth most likely to be inactive are Latinas, 15 to 17 year olds, living in low-income households. That's why it's so important to provide girls and women who reflect them with more access to experience the power of sport and coaching, which is exactly the goal of Women Coach LA. As a company founded by a coach and an athlete, Nike is passionate about the role that a coach can play in a kid's life. We know that caring adults, specifically coaches, are the foundation of a kid's positive experience in play and sport. So many thanks to all the staff and coaches at LA Rec and Parks and coaches of Women Coach LA for welcoming all kids to experience play and sports. Nike salutes you. And together, let's continue to inspire the next generation of Angelinos for the next 5 years and beyond. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you. Madam President, I do not have any further requests for board report public comment.
Wonderful. Thank you all for your traveling to the new 9th and for your public comment. We're going to now move on to the board reports. And commissioners, I would like to take the following board reports on consent. 24-018, 019, 021, 022, 023, 024, 025, and 027. Would any commissioners like any of these reports to be taken or called special, or are we okay with them being taken on consent? Okay. May I have a motion to approve these board reports that are being taken on consent?
So moved.
May I have a second?
Second.
Takesha, can you please conduct the vote?
Will do, Madam President. We have a motion and a second to take the following board reports on consent. 24-018, 24-019, 24-021, 24-022, 24-023, 24-024, 24-025, and 24-027. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Hutton, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Cimarron, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. Congratulations, Pacific Palisades Dog Park. I appreciate your support. With that, let's hear from Trish Delgado on item 020.
Good morning, commissioners and executive staff. I'm Patricia Delgado, the acting executive director at the Expo Center. I'm requesting the board to adopt board report 24-020, requesting approval to accept the partnership agreement between Nike, Los Angeles Park Foundation, and the Department of Recreation and Parks. I'm requesting the board to accept the funding and product, if awarded, of $750,000 and up to $250,000 product allowance for the citywide Coach LA plan. The goal in an initiative is to promote equitable coaching in all parks and aquatic facilities throughout recreation and parks. Through a prior agreement with Nike, LAPF, and RAP, the Coach LA playbook was developed to establish coaching standards to assist volunteers, part-time and full-time coaches to lead their teams regardless of the amount of experience in coaching. The new five-year agreement will focus on implementing and embedding the use of the Coach playbook as a standard. Nike and RAP will partner to ensure efficient and equitable play across all sports and genders throughout recreation and parks. Beginning in year one, RAP will work with Nike and CHJS, the Center of Healing and Justice Through Sports, to develop training models and materials for the implementation of the Coach playbook. RAP will onboard part-time staff to be trained by CHS to become ambassadors to implement a train-the-trainer model. RAP will engage with consultants to develop an evaluation plan. The implementation phase of the Coach plan begins in year two. Citywide RAP ambassadors will train volunteers, part-time and full-time staff on the Coach LA playbook, with those facilities identified as having the most need through input from facility surveys, utilizing data gathered through Volgistics, the department database for volunteers, and registration numbers through RecTrack. RAP will create a process to streamline recruitment and onboarding of the volunteer coaches. Year three's focus is sustainability of the Coach plan and addressing the necessary changes based on the evaluation findings. RAP will establish a coach certification plan and will work with Nike to expand awareness of the coach plan on local, state, and national platforms by presenting at conferences, conventions, and seminars. Year four's focus is the development and implementation of the Coach LA Hub, an external online resource for staff, coaches, and parents. RAP will collect coach plan impact statements from parents, volunteers, employees, and the community. RAP will continue to seek additional potential partnerships for the Coach LA plan. Year five, 2028. RAP will focus on continuous engagement with internal programs to support the Coach LA plan and will institutionalize and earmark internal funding for continuation of the Coach LA programming after 2028. End of report.
Thank you, Trish, and thank you, Nike. Are there any questions from the commissioners? I have one. I know that it support the continuous of the equitable coaching program initiative. How do we define equitable?
Equitable with throughout the city of recreation and parks is making sure that all coaches have the same access to training materials and to being able to have access to, like, the Coach Hub for training videos to implement various practices. So some areas within recreation and parks right now have a higher level of coaches. They have a lot more volunteer coaches when it comes to providing coaching over the team sports, and some don't have that access, but that access to having those kind of coaches are being addressed through the Women's Coach LA. And this coach plan will hopefully address all of the, it will, not hopefully, it will address those equity issues.
And do we have a baseline of
the level of coaching standard or expertise now that we're able to, when we bring on a consultant to help measure and evaluate how we're improving on the equitable access of coaching?
I know when we first started developing the playbook, there were, say, surveys that were conducted from an outside source on where we're at with our coaches. So throughout the city, they went out to the various competitions and surveyed the parents and the kids to see what they were looking for in order to, or what was happening in various locations to see, to develop where are our shortcomings to be able to develop the playbook. So okay. We could take that information that we received, and then we can certainly put into place some type of survey again to see where we're at before we start the implementation with the coaching in year two.
Yeah, that would be outstanding, just so that we're able to appropriately measure the impact of these tremendous investments from Nike, because I think our goal is to ensure that the coaches are well trained, not just in the X and O's, but cultural competencies, the youth development aspects around sports and play. And so I think being able to say we started here, mm-hmm. and with these investments over a 5-year period of time, you know, this is how we've really ensured a level playing field for all coaches through the recreation and park system.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions?
Yeah. So I know earlier we were talking about how we're not tracking ethnicity and race as we're thinking about, but have we identified hotspots in the city where there's less access to these material, this training, where we actually have less coaching volunteers? And are we going to be able to invest some of those dollars in those regions to make sure that we close the gap?
We have not. I know through the Play LA program, they can identify centers, yeah. and where registration is low, where they have the less volunteers coaching. Fortunately, we are able to bring in part-time coaches to kind of, in the meantime, make up that difference. And the part-time coaches are being funded through the Play LA program to be able to kind of take care of that gap that's happening right now. So we're able to do that piece of it, but we certainly are, through our logistics, be able to look at our database and be able to pull where are we short? Where are parks that do not have any volunteers registered to coach? And then the second thing we would be looking at is through our rec track, and where are we low in registration right now? Where can we make up by putting in well-qualified coaches or coaches that can make the difference in, and once you get a coach in there, people come.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll be able to do that piece of it, and then we'll be able to survey within our staff and within Play LA where do you see the needs are, and develop that list. And that's where the coaching would first start at, the coach training.
If I could follow on to that question, Trisha, maybe a report back to the commission, Jimmy. What's the timing? So assuming the commission approves this item to go forward, when would the program launch?
We're looking at the program to launch in year two. We are doing some pilot programs.
Just what's the timing? Is that February? Is that June?
We're looking at most likely in winter quarter of 2025.
So we have time. So mm-hmm. could we ask for maybe a report back to Commissioner Sanchez's question about hotspots, and then my question about sort of the equitable distribution and creating that baseline? Because I think it's really important for us to have that data so that we're able to appropriately, as a commission, know that those dollars are being invested in the communities that need a bit of a lift. Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you, Nike.
Thank you, Trish. So let's move on to David, item 026.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning, commissioners, RAP staff, and members of the general public. My name is David Lee from the Planning Maintenance Construction Branch, and I'm here to present board report number 24-026. On September 6, 2000, the Board of Recreation and Parks Commissioners approved a temporary installation of the artwork entitled Declaration, which is made of steel and is approximately 60 feet tall for the 2001 Venice Art Walk. On October 16th, 2002, the board granted a 6-month extension for the installation of the sculpture and approved in concept the permanent placement of the sculpture at the Venice Beach Oceanfront Walk. On October 20th, 2004, the board granted conditional approval to allow the sculpture to be a permanent installation. The conditional approval was contingent on the Los Angeles Louvre Art Gallery raising funds to purchase the sculpture and donate it to the city of Los Angeles. The sculpture is valued at $5 million. The project is now seeking a conceptual approval to both remove the sculpture, my apologies, and moving forward with the administrative approvals related to the sculpture. The artist has noted that the sculpture is in need of repairs as well. RAP staff has been advised that to buy and maintain the sculpture in the same location, the estimate would be in the range of approximately $2 to $4 million, which would help pay for the artist for his work and LA Louvre for the cost of insurance and maintenance that they have paid for the last 23 years. We have two representatives who came out on behalf of the company that is overseeing the removal, who were kind enough to be here today to help answer any of the commissioner's questions related to the removal. This concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Questions from the commissioners?
I have a lot of questions, but please. My primary one is public safety. And I know we're not responsible for the permits for the removal. It's Public Works, obviously Coastal Commission, because that's a big structure, 62 feet tall. I'm disappointed it's going, I'll state that, but it's, so who's in charge of making sure people are safe when we remove a structure like that? That size and scope is quite large.
Well, it looks like Daryl Ford is coming up.
He's in charge. We're okay. Daryl's in charge.
Yeah, that wasn't fair.
That's heartfelt, David. I mean, Daryl, it's heartfelt.
Good morning, everyone. Daryl Ford, Superintendent of Planning for Recreation and Parks. The short answer is, as you, the commission's aware, we're moving through the preliminary steps. And as you noted, there's other approvals need to be done. But in essence, the department will issue ultimately a right of entry permit to the folks to go ahead and remove this. The liability will be on them and they'll be responsible for ensuring that it's safely removed. We did include some materials to talk about preliminarily how that would be done, but essentially how the city protects itself in the situation where we're having other folks come into our property is we'll make sure all that's covered in a right of entry permit to make sure it's being done safely. But right now we'll move through the administrative steps, making sure we get the permitting done, making sure they get the Coastal Commission approval. And then ultimately, before we return to the board, we'll have answers for you about how they're actually going to remove it. And then we'll also, in that same report, essentially be asking you to approve it. And then at the administrative level, we'll be issuing the ROE. It will have all the appropriate insurance and everything else that goes with that. But short answer, sorry for going so long, the contractor will be responsible for making sure it's safely removed.
To our point, Daryl, we are all confident now because we know you're on the case.
I appreciate the commission's confidence in me. Thank you.
Commissioner Hutton, any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Daryl, item 028.
Again, good morning, commissioners. I'm Daryl Ford. I'm the superintendent of planning for recreation and parks. I'm here to present board report 24028, which is in regard to the Michelle Brock Sports Complex project, the phase one. This report is for the final acceptance of phase one of that project and also to request authority to negotiate and execute a final change order here, the closeout change order for project, and to increase contingency along with that. So just for background for this report, I'll go through the recommendations really briefly, then go to some details here. So in essence, we're recommending, this report is recommending that the board authorize the reallocation of certain allowance items for the project in order to pay for the final changeout close order. I'll go into more detail for that, but essentially these are funds that were available to the project for allowance items, but not in the contractor's budget. So we're recommending those allowances be reallocated in order to pay for the closeout. We're also asking the board to recommend, an increase in the contingency amount in order to accommodate the final changeout close order. A portion of that contingency is detailed in recommendation 3 and in the report will come from those allowances that we're asking you to reallocate. So project funds that were not needed, excess allowance funds that were available to reallocate, as well as Proposition K inflation dollars as well. So no additional funds coming from the department, but those two sources are what will be used to pay the items that's discussed in recommendation number 4, which is the final closeout change order for this wonderful project. So the last recommendation, just maybe the highlight here, is the fifth recommendation, which we're essentially is where we're asking the board to accept the work that's moved forward by Penner here at this project. And again, this final changeout close order will enable us to move forward with that. So as background, although I know this commission has been in this building for two meetings, so you are aware of the facility, but for all those listening and in here in the studio audience, this was a project that was the demolition of the previous recreation center that was here at what we call Rancho Cienega Park and the Michelle and Barack Obama Sports Complex, and the construction of the beautiful new gymnasium building, pool building, and the exterior restrooms, along with some additional work that was done here to the tennis area where the bathrooms are as well. So those are part of what we'll call phase one of the project. Although the board is aware, I believe, or I'll just make aware, this is also part of a much larger idea that the city's had about multiple phases of the project and doing all the work here at Rancho Cienega. But this is the first phase. So that work, which was completed in 2022, effectively, the BOE has been working through with the contractor to complete these last changeout items. So just as I'll deviate for a bit of background, and I apologize because I wanted to make sure to acknowledge our wonderful colleagues in the Bureau of Engineering, Haji Abdullah, who's a project manager who's here in the audience here as well. As you guys know, of course, we've worked very closely with the Bureau of Engineering, but as a part of their role, the city department is a part of the role that we work with them. The Bureau of Engineering took on the project management, construction and management task for this project. And as a part of that, beyond managing the construction and working closely with the contractors, part of their role is to negotiate change orders for the project, to work through those change orders with the project. And they have authority working closely with the department to do those up to a certain dollar amount. Larger ones come to the board for approval. So as this project has gone on, there's been many change orders for it, and those have been worked through with the Bureau of Engineering project management team and construction management team, of course, in coordination with Recreation and Parks. But here we are at the end for the final changeout close order, which is the one that negotiated with Penner to essentially close out all the remaining items here for Rancho Cienega. So now we're moving funds in order to be able to do that. So the BOE has negotiated that final changeout close order, as noted in the board report, specifically in page 5, some of the last items that were there for us to complete here. And again, as I detailed at the top, and as the report goes into more detail, we're recommending the use of additional allowance funds, which are remaining, as well as the additional Proposition K funds that will be moving here to the contingency, which will give us enough contingency to pay for the final changeout close order so that we can close this project and finally accept it from Penner. So again, just as a last note, maybe as a highlight for this, just the report also details a few other items here. We wanted to make sure to be very clear with the commission that there are some outstanding things that the BOE team working with RAP and with the contractor have been working to close out. So on page 10 of the report, it details some final work that's being done to both the HVAC and security systems here at Rancho Cienega. So there were some items we were not able to come to consensus on the contractor with. So some were the security items were unilaterally removed. Essentially, we said, we'll go ahead and take care of that. So we made a deduction for that. And additionally, we've been working with the contractor on the HVAC, some closeout items there. We didn't reach complete resolution with the contractor for those. So there were some deductions that were made. But in any case, the BOE moving forward, we've been working very closely. We've identified a path forward to complete that work. And again, other non-RAP funds will be used to finalize those items so that the system works to the way that we specified and that we wanted it to. But effectively, working closely with our BOE colleagues, we've come to the end, we believe, of the Rancho Cienega project. And through all these recommendations, we believe there's sufficient funds to go ahead and close this out. We'd like the board to recommend to take these actions so that we can do that and to issue the final changeout close order and accept the Rancho Cienega Sports Center Phase 1 project from Penner.
Thank you, Daryl. Very thorough report. Any questions?
That's the HVAC that was kind of leaking on that second floor, right? I remember when I did a walkthrough.
Okay. Commissioner, you're aware, yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Daryl. And thanks to all the staff for thorough reports, even the ones we took on consent. Very much appreciate the thoroughness of the reports and the presentations. Appreciate that. So, our next item is to approve the three board reports. So may I have a motion to approve board report 020, 026, and 028?
So moved.
May I have a second?
Second.
To Keisha, we have a motion and a second. Can you call for the vote, please?
We have a motion and a second to approve the reports that was just presented, board reports 24-020 and 24-026 and 24-028. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Hudson, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Cimero, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Well, thank you very much. Our next order of business, are there any neighborhood council comments?
I have not received any such requests, Madam President.
Okay, next item of business, to the chairpersons of each of the task force, are there any verbal reports for today's meeting? Seeing none, are there any requests for comments from the commissioners on future agenda items or report backs? Anything else from the commissioners? Seeing none, let's make aware the next meeting will be out in my college town of Westchester, February 1st, 2024, at the Westchester Recreation Center, 7000 West Manchester Avenue in Los Angeles. And seeing no other business before the commission, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.